I had quite a shock the other day. I realised that next month I will have been a Christian, a follower of Jesus, for 50 years. That's me as a 17-year-old. I intentionally didn't put the photo of my hair that my brother's girlfriend had teased. But that's me as a 17-year-old. And it was then in August 1971 when Jesus rescued me. And it was 6 years later that Kerry and I were married. We'd had our first child, Naomi, and we were attending Bible college. And it was a Bible college attached to a mission organisation. And yes, I just want to acknowledge we were young. And yes, but that was pretty common back then in Australia. So don't give us a hard time and don't let your children use us as an excuse. And then we ended up in New Zealand. We ended up in inner city Auckland working among Polynesian migrants with that mission organisation. But for a while, things hadn't been going smoothly. We had this growing sense of being uncomfortable, an uncomfortable feeling, but we were never really able just to put our finger on what it was. Why did we feel like this? What was wrong? And then over the course of a few weeks as I read the Bible, it seemed like every time I opened the pages of Scripture, the Holy Spirit would just expose things that were not quite right in the mission. God was really speaking to me. And then the crunch came one night when I was attending a Bible study. And I tried to remember. I have no idea how I ended up at this particular Bible study. I can't remember the situation. But the study was in Galatians. And I had one of those experiences that night when the words just leapt off the pages. Galatians 2:4. This matter, a difficulty in Galatia, this matter arose because some false believers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus to make us slaves. Yes, the thing that hit me that night was we were in a place of spiritual bondage. A few years later, we came across a book by Daniel Markham, The Cultic Phenomenon. And Markham put into words what happened to us. He spoke of five common abuses in cultic systems: abuse of time, abuse of money, abuse of intimacy, abuse of authority, abuse of sexuality. He defined a cult as any group with an elitist cause and view of itself that, in order to promote its cause, either consciously or unconsciously abuses individuals' rights and freedoms. And he went on to say, this means a religious group could possibly adhere to orthodox doctrines but be cultic because of the abuse it inflicts on its members. What Markham was saying is we as a church could believe solidly in Jesus but be cultic in the way we behave as a church. And can I suggest to you, and we've been on a journey in Colossians now for a few weeks, can I suggest to you that that was the sort of thing going on at Colossae in the first century? Those early believers were being pressured by advocates of spiritual systems that ultimately were abusive and would steal away their freedom. So this brings us to our next strategy as we consider how to respond to the presence of spiritual powers. Last week we started talking about how the Apostle Paul encouraged the Colossians to test the spiritual systems, remember? We talked about the source systems, the source test, where did it come from? And today we want to look at the people behind those systems. And interestingly, what we will see is that these were people who had drifted away from Jesus. Let me read for you. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom, with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body. But they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. As we read through this portion of Scripture, we are once again thrust into the particular situation the Colossians faced. There is talk of particular practices, the worship of angels and particular rules and regulations. Now, our situation is very different to theirs. And so as we consider what God is saying to us today, we will need to look not so much at the particular Colossian practices, but at the people behind them. Paul has previously expressed his concern that no one deceive them, 2:4, and that no one takes them captive, 2:8. He repeats this same concern in what we just read, verse 16. Do not let anyone judge you, verse 18. Do not let anyone disqualify you. You see, from Paul's perspective, the spiritual opposition the Colossians were experiencing came via people. And yes, that is how it happens. It is people who deceive us and lead us into spiritual bondage. But God's word to us is, don't let them. The onus of responsibility is put on you and me. Don't let them. And what is really interesting in this portion of Scripture is how it portrays who these people were. Because what emerges is a picture of people who had drifted away from Jesus. Verse 19. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. In the picture Paul paints here, the head is Jesus, and we, those who have believed in Jesus, are the body. Jesus is the giver and sustainer of the life God has promised those who believe in him. We live in and through Jesus himself. In this picture, Paul takes us back to what we've seen previously in Colossians 2, verse 6, verse 8, I think. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Or as we've noted from the message, just go ahead with what you've been given. You received Christ Jesus the Master, now live in him. There are echoes of this here. They have lost connection. You see, that was not where the people who were influencing the Colossians were at. They had lost connection with Jesus. These were people who had not continued, who had stopped going ahead. They had drifted away. So how does such a thing happen? Maybe there are some hints here in this portion of Scripture for us to consider. And as we look, can I encourage you to think about how this applies to you? Be willing to ask yourself, am I following things? Am I allowing things to happen in my life that are causing me to drift away? So let's look at this. And firstly, I want you to notice that these people elevated a form of worship above the reality. Verse 16. Do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Paul wrote to the Romans, Romans 12:1, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Worship is what we give to God as a response to who he is and what he has done. It is a sacrifice we bring to him. It is something we do not simply on a Sunday morning, but it's something we do 24/7. We are called to worship God. Every human being created who have ever lived on this earth has been called to be a worshiper of the living God, because he alone is worthy of honor and praise. But the tragedy throughout the history of the church, indeed throughout the history of the people of God, is that people have placed emphasis on forms and styles of music and systems of worship as something we do to get God to come to us, to come down. One of the things I appreciate, and we're very intentional in the way we have different worship leaders, and I don't prescribe to any of the worship leaders how they are to lead us. Yes, we talk about songs and content of songs and stuff like that, but when it comes to our music preferences, we need to acknowledge we've all got different preferences. A former pastor of mine was getting a bit of a hard time about the music style happening in the church. And he said, good grief, if I had my way, we would be having Gregorian chants. I'm not sure I'm quite there. But one of the tragedies is that we make worship a thing. We make worship a religious duty, a system, when it is a matter of worshiping God in spirit and in truth, acknowledging that Jesus, you are Lord, and we cannot give you enough. But here it was in Colossae, and so often we degenerate into this systems approach. And it's no longer about Jesus, it's about the stuff we are doing. Yes, these people were saying, no, 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 you're not doing New Moon festivals right. You know what? I'm sure in the eyes of the people that sit on this side, and I'm making this up, that sit on this side of the auditorium, you guys aren't doing it right. Hallelujah. That's what it means to be the body of Christ. We come. My desire is to be here. I want to be here. I want to lift my voice and declare God's greatness and goodness. And when I'm exhausted and can't give another ounce of energy to the task, I haven't even begun to start giving God what he deserves. So we need to reorientate ourselves. Why do I exist? I exist to glorify God and to honor him with my whole being. The minute we shift, and I'm not arguing here that we don't have to come to church and we don't stuff that. You've never heard me say that and you haven't heard me say that this morning. That's a lie from the devil. But that's not what I'm talking about. We can come faithfully every Sunday and not worship God because we're not doing it in spirit and in truth. It's not the desire of our hearts. Don't let things get in the way of truly worshiping God. This next one is really interesting and I think is very relevant for our in our world today. These people in Colossae elevated their own experience above God's revealed truth. Verse 18. Don't let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual minds. Can you picture what was going on in Colossae? Here's this small group of people who had come to Christ some 10 years earlier, who had received the gospel, believed in the gospel that Epaphras had preached, and yes, they had given their lives to Jesus. And then these guys come along and said, well, I've had this special revelation from God, and I've been speaking to this angel, and he's told me this, and you guys need to do this stuff. And they are putting themselves in this elevated position because of their elevated so-called spiritual experiences. And they are taking a position of authority over these believers. And let me tell you, that happens all the time in churches. All the time. And the truth of the matter is, and you were asked last Sunday to be praying for the pastoral search process that is going on at the moment for our English congregation. And let me say this, that the only authority a person has who is in a place of responsibility in the life of the church, a church, is the Word of God. The minute a person deviates from preaching and teaching and declaring the truth of Scripture, they have lost their authority. Because the authority is not mine, it's God's. And it's His authority. And the minute we start putting ourselves in places of, oh, yeah, this is what God's saying. Now, yes, of course God speaks to us. God challenges us. I made reference to that earlier when I was in New Zealand and reading the Word. But this is the sense of, no, no, I've had special revelation. Oh, and I have power and authority because of that. This is really scary stuff. Very scary stuff. And it happens all the time. And it flies in the face of the constant message of what it means to be church in the New Testament. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Yes, we have different roles and responsibilities. I've got a particular role and responsibility. I'm a pastor and I teach the Word of God, and the warning of Scripture is, be careful, you guys who teach the Word of God. Don't screw it up because you will be judged more harshly. Yes, we have different responsibilities. However, the bottom line is we are together the people of God. Together the people of God. And we together submit to the authority of God. And do not let people take authority over you. That was the big mistake we made as kids. Don't let people take authority over you. Walk in humility and submission, but don't allow people to exert power and control over you. Yes, they elevated themselves because of their experience. They elevated experience above God's revealed truth. And then thirdly, they elevated humanistic principles above the wisdom of the Spirit. Verse 23. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom, with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgences. The situation in Colossae has been suggested that the influence was very stoic in its nature, and it had that element of a dichotomy. That is how you say the word, dichotomy, between body and spirit, and body was evil and bad, and the church has been influenced by that for centuries. And there was this, you know, and you had to beat the body and beat the devil out of your body stuff. And there was elements of all that going on. And what Paul is saying, all this harsh treatment, all this stuff just doesn't work. The focus here is how we live. How do we restrain sensual indulgence? That is, how do we live to please God and honour Him? And you see, these people, they were emphasising principles and practices based on human commands and teachings, Paul says, on the elemental forces of this world. And the point here in Colossians is such principles and practices are ineffective. So why do it? Why do it? Why buy a dud? You understand what a dud is? Do I need to do any translation right now? Sorry. Why buy something that you know doesn't work when you can get the product that works well? That's the point God is making here. See, we are no longer part of this world system. We don't belong to it because God has called us to something different. The truth of the matter, the truth revealed in Scripture is that the Holy Spirit is changing us from glory to glory. He is at work in our lives to restore the image of God in us, which was destroyed when sin entered the world. And we'll see much more of this in the next section of Colossians in a few weeks' time. But for now, just let me give you an example. We've been here 9 years now, or almost 9 years, as SP shared last week. And people often ask us, so have you been influenced by being at Southside and living in this part of Brisbane? And I think if we were to be honest, we'd have to say, yes, we now watch K-drama. And that's secret confessions. And Korean drama, K-drama. And it's been interesting. I've noticed in a lot of Korean dramas, of a few of them that I've watched, is that revenge is a big theme. And there's a distinct absence of forgiveness. I will not forgive. You don't deserve to be forgiven. I won't do it. Well, and I should add, of course, that that's not just a Korean thing. That's everywhere, isn't it? But I what I want you to notice is how that lifestyle principle stands in contrast to God's vision for humanity. Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Yes, these people had elevated humanistic principles above the wisdom of the Spirit. When we've been called to live according to the wisdom of the Spirit as revealed in the Scriptures. That's the important thing. So, as we wrap this up, here is the sobering truth. Any of us, any one of us, are vulnerable to drifting away from Jesus. That's where we began this journey several weeks ago in Colossians, remember? Any of us can drift away from Jesus. And God's word to us is, don't let it happen. So again, let me encourage you to think about, what am I allowing into my life? What is influencing me? What are the principles, the worldviews that are shaping how I live? We probably need to talk about this for weeks. But for now, I just want to put it out there. I want to encourage you to start thinking about this, to be praying and asking God to teach you and show you the way forward.